Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hello, I'm Melissa Brooks, and I play guitar and sing in the band.
I'm Jackie Proctor, and I play drums and sing and dabble in bass in the band.
I'm Kayla Nina, and I play bass and sing, and I dabble in drums in this band.
So now we get a great opportunity. I don't want you to pin the meters, but all in unison. What effing band?
The Aquadolls.
Because you're like in the band. January 2012. Here we go. There it is. Right? The same. I'm telling you. Let's see. Clock. Bedroom demos. EP in 2013. And then if I go deeper, let's see. We can go Melissa, church, choir, and theater. But we're going to go there. We'll go there. And then we got, and this is not, I'm not going to make this a joke because this is actually very real. Our parents that are deaf, that's legit. Plans to conquer America.
Absolutely.
You know, et cetera. And the world, right? And Mars.
Yeah.
So now.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you amazed that either no one has asked you in all this time, or what do you wish someone would ask?
I wish they'd ask how we feel. It's so important to open up, and we like have been doing that as a band, just like, talking about our feelings because we're all pretty emotional ass people.
I wish we got, I mean, we're a band and we make music, but sometimes I would like more like fun, like this, like fun, yeah, not music related questions because we are humans outside of the band. No. So yeah, who live lives and pay bills.
Being a woman in rock and roll is brave. The percentage of women in your audience just by nature of rock and roll is not as high as we would all like it to be. Yeah. So there's all sorts of stuff that goes on. So I want to ask you completely opposite. What about doing what you're doing makes you happy?
I don't know. I mean, I just look forward to getting on that stage and being there. And I feel like especially with COVID happening and not being able to perform for so long, that took a major toll on my and all of our, I don't want to speak for everyone, but all of our mental health. I mean, all of our lives changed basically over COVID. Like, it just insane.
In one moment you got festivals, and the next moment you got, as they say in my religion, bubkis, which means nothing.
Nothing at all. It was rough. But yeah, I don't know. I just look forward to getting to play. And like, there's just so much little factors that go into it, like rehearsal and like planning it and like what we're going to wear and like, and getting the merch together. And like, I don't even know. There's just so many little things behind the scenes to get to that stage, but it's all worth it in the end. But like, it is hard.
So stress, how do you deal with it? Because you think about it, and just the fact that you're thinking about stress is stressful to me.
Yeah, it is, huh?
Right?
Yeah, that's why I liked your question on what makes you happy, because it's like, you know, those are the things that I need, you know, should focus on more than maybe just those things.
So what do you focus on?
What am I focused on?
What are you focused on that stresses you out?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, give me the top three. Come on. Hit me.
I guess just like everyday little things, like stress me out, but I also have to focus on them because I want to be able to fix them and not be stressed out about them.
Fair game.
So it's just kind of a balance, you know. But, yeah.
What do you have to add to that joy and fun?
Well, I get stressed about everything, honestly. Dealing with it, I think sometimes, and it's like, sometimes I have to unplug from the musician mindset, and I love it and I want to do this for the rest of my life, but sometimes it is nice to clock into my little coffee shop job and just do that, and that makes me happy, and I love playing music and I always will. But sometimes when it gets to be too much, I really need to remind myself that I am not a machine. I am human. And bills stress me out, paying rent, being able to work and be a musician stresses me out, but little things that make me happy are just like getting to spend time. I mean, the girls are my best friends. They were before I was in this band and they will be forever. So just getting to hang out with them and people that remind me that I am not just a machine that is pumping out questions about Patti Smith and pumping out questions about how long I've played music. Things like that make me happy, but just taking it day by day and remembering that I'm just me. I'm just human.
I know you straight out of high school, but did anybody else attempt college? Or?
I did.
I did 5 years at Cal State Fullerton.
Really? What did you study?
So I went in originally with a musical theater scholarship, but I decided I would never be on Broadway, nor do I want to be. So I switched over to film major, and I just watched a bunch of movies and wrote papers on movie reports. Funny. Basically, I learned about camera angles. I really wanted to learn about editing because I've edited YouTube videos since middle school just as a fun thing for me, and I would edit a lot of early Aqua Dolls videos too, so I wanted to learn more about that, but unfortunately things in life got really hectic with the band because I was managing the band with college and I just had too much stress, so I left.
You got your surf punk, you got your psychedelic surf punk, you got your girl band, you got all your friggin' genres, you got your doo-wop, you got all that stuff. But what I want to know is, where'd you learn to write good songs?
I've been songwriting since I was 7 years old.
Okay, so what was your first song?
My first song I wrote was called Hassle in the Castle. And I was in second grade, and it was about a king and queen who were getting a divorce. And then, like, the princess was, like, going to be alone on the throne. And then, like, the chorus was like, I'm not Miranda, but I was born in Canada. And it made no sense, but, like, I don't know. I remember it so well. And, like, I learned to play it on piano. And then my mom put me in piano lessons, and then I don't know, like, I would just study pop music, I guess. Like, I grew up on, like, Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, and would just kind of, like, go off of the structures of that and then put chords to it, and then it became surf rock only because I used a Dan Electro and I didn't have, like, budget really to, like, add a whole bunch of stuff because I was just using, like, bedroom recordings, and then it kind of just became a surf rock sound because I was listening to a lot of Best Coast.
Right. As published, you weren't around a lot of music because when you have two deaf parents, there isn't a lot of music in the house.
There was really not much. My dad was a music person, just because he's hard of hearing, so he would just turn his music up all the way. My mom just kind of felt whatever he was listening to. I have an older sister, so my music taste was just generated by whatever she was listening to. But since my parents are deaf, and when I was younger they were a bit more religious than they are now, so it was just a lot of Radio Disney growing up. I didn't really get to listen to much. It was two very different sides. It was Radio Disney, and then it was everything my dad was listening to, which was like Wu-Tang Clan and Beyonce's first solo album and NWA. So it was like two very different things. I didn't really get a grasp on what kind of music I actually enjoyed until I was probably in middle school. My sister's 3 years older than me, so I just finally got my hands on a computer and just started going and listening that way. It's just kind of funny because my parents still go, well, are you any good? How's your voice? Do you play good? Yes. And it's hard because I go, we're somewhere. We've gotten somewhere. And I don't want to go, yeah, I'm great. Because I don't, I mean, we can all improve. So I just go, yeah, I think we're good. We're okay. And it's hard trying to be completely honest. I did musicals growing up too. So they would go and watch with the interpreters and go, well, did you sound good? And I go, I think I sounded okay. But yeah, I think through like Tumblr and YouTube, I kind of finally started to curate my own music taste and listen to a lot of like punk rock music. I love 70s punk and Patti Smith and all of those like kind of influences. I love 90s punk and all those kind of girl bands are really influential to me. I love Jack Off Jill and the Luna Chicks, L7, all of those bands. And my parents still, when I play them, my mom turns the bass up in the car and she goes, this is good. Who is this? I go, oh, it's Hole. She's like, that's cool. Who's that? And I explain to her Hole and Courtney Love. And she just kind of goes, well, I can feel that this is very different than what you play.
Well, but that's the thing. And that's been my learning is just because you're missing something doesn't mean you're missing everything. And you? I mean, you're just so mellow and quiet. I don't imagine you being the thrasher that you are.
yeah. Usually I'm not. But a good observation. No. Yeah, drums. No, I played piano for like 7 years, and then my mom, and then I like quit, and my mom was like, "Well, you still need to play music." So it was like, "Well, I'm gonna play drums like my uncle. I want to be, and also like low key like." want to impress a certain somebody in my class, so Mike Ness's son. But I also was in a songwriting program in high school called it was called MMET, which is Music Media Entertainment Technology, and so basically it's like a giant rock band. And so I basically was in rock and roll high school, and it was like the most awesome experience ever. And they teach you how to write songs. You do the you put on the productions, the students put on the productions, but then you get really spoiled with all the like gear and the tech that you're using. So then when you go away to college and you go in this jazz improv class and there's none of the lights and the, you know, the headphones and there's none of that, you're like, but I did this in high school, so how come it's like lame now?
When you really are talking to people about your music and they say, "What do you play?" Do you say surf punk? And then they go, "Oh, okay." I mean, what do?
I kind of just say I'm doing air bunnies for all the listeners, but like alternative, because it's a big umbrella of like what
and
does that even mean?
Somebody sort of kind of maybe possibly understands that.
Yeah, like, and then they're like, "Oh," and I'm like, "A little bit of rock, a little bit of pop, like our influences are here, there," and they're like, "Oh," I'm like, "Just listen, I don't know," and each song's a little different too, so it's hard to genreify.
You just did what I will now ask you to do for the rest of your life. Those two words. When I ask you, "Well, you know what? There's certain things that our songs have in common. We're women. We play the way we play. These things got into our heads, but I can't define it. And if you're asking me to define it, you're only going to be disappointed in the long run."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is the question that I like to ask. What is the filter for a song by this band? And how do you know that a song is right for this band? Is there some sort of filter? How do you know?
I feel like no. There's no limits. You know? There's no limits, and I feel like we're always kind of testing ourselves with different styles that we play, and like, I mean, just with the last record, and that was like even before we started writing together, like Dream of Deception is so all over the place. There's like heavy, like fast, like mosh pit songs, and then there's like trap songs, and then there's like bubblegum songs, and then we did Suck on This, which is like heavy, and then Disappearing Girl, I don't even know how to describe it.
It's just like, if we like it.
Yeah, it's just that we like it. Like, our tastes are all over the place, like, ranging from all sorts of genres. And we just like to make music that we like to, would listen to, you know what I mean? Since we listen to everything, we kind of make
honestly,
a little bit of everything.
It just depends on their opinion. Like, if I, like, bring it to the table and then they're like, yeah. And I'm like, saying with them.
Yeah,
like,
I just, I this is what I have. And they're like, "Oh, hell yeah, let's just do it." And I'm like, "Okay, let's go."
You have a team behind you?
We have an amazing
team.
So we're a little too lucky to have the team that we do.
We found our manager.
He found us.
Mr. Rick DeVoe slid in my Instagram DM, and I didn't respond for a while because I didn't know like who it was. I just saw like a picture of a boat.
So he managed Blink-182. In the beginning, he did what I think it was Newfound Glory, as well. Right now, he's doing Bomb Pops, Sitting on Stacy, but those were like his credentials pre us. Is he had worked with Blink, Pennywise, Newfound Glory, all those bands. Yeah, and we have another manager who's our behind the scenes, our Charlie to our Charlie. I think Rick is our Bosley. Yeah, Rick is our Bosley, and Smitty he's our other manager. He works with Pearl Jam, and he is our Charlie. He is our behind the scenes. I feel like we've only met him like 5 times,
yeah,
like less than 5 times.
Hopefully tomorrow we'll see him.
Yeah, we'll see him.
And when we do see him, we always go, Charlie!
Like when you're sitting down and you're in the band and you're driving and you're saying, "So what do we want to put out there in the world?" Do you talk about that at all?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
And what do you say? What do you talk about?
I think that we talk about, like, I don't just... like, okay, like the band song, like Suck on This. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a song that has a message to it where it's like, you know, we're not gonna take your bull. And
okay,
you know,
who is the you? Okay, so I gotta ask this.
Ready? Okay, okay.
Who is the you?
Anyone.
We're not gonna take your bull. That is the proverbial your.
The your means anyone that, you know, puts anyone down or that, you know, just is me.
Is this being a woman and having to deal?
At 100%.
Yes.
Completely. I mean, if for everyone who's listening, we are women and we dress a certain way that we like, and sometimes that comes with people. People say things and they assume things and it's like, whatever, can let it not get to you. But I just, yeah, it's exactly
to say that it's rock and roll too. Mm-hmm. That this is dress up. This
exactly.
is fun.
It's their
this
costumes. Yeah, that the way that Mel and I, yeah, every time, yeah, I just when I tell Mel, like, am I going full drag today? Because I really feel like I'm performing femininity whenever I play on stage. It's a character almost. And I am fully aware of what I'm putting out there. And that's the thing that I like, is I have full control.
You're not just like, we're just going to make some music. How do you tell people that? How do you get them to actually take you seriously?
Perform. We show up and we perform.
Yeah. Just play, like play with all your passions and give it your all. And if they still don't take you seriously, just take, I don't know, then you know that you don't have to care. And then if you don't care and you still like what you're doing and you're taking yourself seriously, then you're doing something right.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by others in between.